This is Denise with Recovery Radio, and you're listening to KRFP. And in the studio today, I have my co-host, Johnny, and my guest, Rachel. And Rachel is a participant with the Nez Perce Mental Health Court in Lewiston. Rachel, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be here.
So, Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. I'm originally from Moscow. I was a participant in the Latah County Drug Court in 2004 and 2005. I was successful in that program. I had then gotten married and moved on, and after graduating the program, I had a good amount of years of sobriety, and then I made some decisions to go down that wrong road, and I ended up, you know, being... I ended up making some decisions that weren't appropriate, and it landed me back into another court program, which I'm very, 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 very thankful for. I'm very lucky to be able to be involved in another specialty court program, being that I was already in one. So they had moved me down to Lewiston, into the Nez Perce County Mental Health Court program, and this is where I am now, or that's where I reside now with my four children. I have... three girls and a boy. Their ages are 11, 12, 13, or 11, 12, 15, and 17. I currently have a great job. I work at Albertsons in Lewiston in the deli. I'm very honored to have that job. If I didn't, you know, participate in the program that I'm in, I wouldn't be, you know, being successful in my life today.
That's great. And Rachel, can you give us just kind of in your the best that you can explain what the mental health court is, what that program is? Can you give some details on that?
Sure. So the mental health court program is designed to help you with your mental illness and your symptoms that you may have that cause you to have either criminal behaviors or to make, have issues to make decisions that aren't appropriate, which cause you to cause a crime or whatnot. It also is designed to help you with your addiction. There's a good percentage of people that have a mental illness that are actively in a drug addiction of some sort. You do not have to be convicted of a felony to be in the mental health court program, and you do not have to have a drug issue or alcohol issue. The way that it works for me and the way that is designed perfectly for me is I had a mental illness, and it's hard to tell the difference between it being either just my addiction side of it or me, the mental illness playing in. And so this program has really helped me out by finding both my diseases and working on them together. They do everything through adult mental health, whether it be in the Moscow area or the Lewiston area. All of our classes that are required are MRT, which is a moral recognition therapy, which is usually the baseline for any of these specialty court programs or any treatment facilities outside of the court programs. And that is done through adult mental health. So we get a little information and we get some other facilitators that are basically very, very educated in mental illness. And so we can bring that addiction into that. And it really works out for us as far as finding the bottom line of what we need to be successful. We do go to an outpatient treatment program in order to have counselors in classes that deal directly with addiction. And that's part of the program, but it is formatted into the same exact scheduling that we do. It's a very rigorous schedule. When you first become a part of the program, you are very, very, very busy. The first phase, there's four phases. Phase one is 4 to 6 months, depending on how you do. And you are busy every single day of your life. You have classes, counseling, one-on-ones, community service, or actually I would say volunteer hours. It's just they want to keep you busy and keep you on a schedule so that you can get comfortable with being reestablished into the community. You move up into phase two and you know, some of the classes go, you know, you pass and you gain a new one. And phase three, you end up having a little bit more of your own time, you're allowed to make your own decisions. Not that you're not allowed, you're able to make your own decisions and have them help guide you through that. Phase four is a little bit more lenient. You then kind of are getting weaned off of the program and out on your own. It definitely helps you. I've seen it help a lot of women, myself included, have my children back in my life. And to be able to be a mom, productive member of society, and you know, everything that goes on with it. You know, I have four children, I have a full-time job, and I have a recovery program and the support that I need in order to maintain that.
That's awesome. Rachel, how long have you been a participant in this program?
I have been in the Nesperce County Mental Health Court program since August of 2015. So I'm very much, I love it. I'm scared. I'm graduating on February 7th. So I'm very nervous, but I know that I still have every team member that is possibly mm-hmm. there. I can always go to Riverside Recovery for anything. I spend a lot of time with a lot of those people. Mm-hmm. My kids are very much a part of the program with me. And so it's just like having an external family, and I know they'll always be there. So
that's awesome. So what other do you guys have the same as like drug court has, where you might have a probation officer or like UAs and things like
oh,
that?
Oh, absolutely.
Too?
Yes. And I should have touched on that.
Oh, no, it's OK.
We do have UAs and we do have a probation officer. So that would be the other one of the main keys to being successful and holding ourselves accountable. I call in every single morning, and I've done this since for 2.5 years. I call in every single morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to see if my UA number is called. If I have one, I have to be at the location and I have to provide that test. Sometimes you can have one once a week. Sometimes you can have one 5 days a week, you know, and we do call in 7 days a week to check for that. We have a probation officer, and some of the participants in our program are only on misdemeanor probation, so their probation is a little bit different. The other ones are on felony probation, and we have constant contact with our probation officer and everybody in the program or on the mental health court team. We see them enough in court, you know, and mm-hmm. they do make the average stops to our homes, and you know they are a part
usual,
of our life.
Yeah, usual probation officers.
Yep. So it's probably no different than, you know, the drug court program. Yep.
Well, thank you, Rachel. That's awesome. Yeah. That was a good explanation. We're going to take a quick break and listen to a song. And you are listening to KRFP, Moscow Pullman. And this is Recovery Radio.
When you're down and trouble and you need a helping hand, and nothing is going right, close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, now all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow, knocking upon your door. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will see you again. Spring, summer, or fall, yeah. All you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, ain't it good to know that you've got a friend when people can be so cold? They'll hurt you and desert you. Well, they'll take your soul if you let them. Oh, yeah, but don't you let them. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running to see you again. Oh, baby, don't you know about winter, spring, summer, or fall? Hey, now all you've got to do is call. Lord, I'll be there, yes, I will. You've got a friend. You've got a friend, yeah. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? Oh, yeah, yeah, you've got a friend.
Hi, this is Denise with Recovery Radio, and you're listening to KRFP in Moscow Pullman. And today I'm in the studio with Rachel, and she is a mental health participant in the Nez Perce County program. And Rachel, if you can just kind of tell us what life was like before you got into the program.
Absolutely. Besides the word chaotic, that's one way to describe it. So I started, I had relapsed after 8 years of sobriety. I started off with drinking. Mm-hmm. Drinking, they say every time, that's that spiral downhill to go back to the drug of your choice. I did some partying for a while. Had gotten a divorce. My children stayed with their father. So that gave me all that free time in the world and the pains to numb out anything that I was doing wrong. At that point I had, you know, picked up a group of friends, and we ended up, you know, causing some mischief around the areas that we were hanging out in. And I picked up a charge, you know, a charge that has greatly affected our community, in a lot of different ways. And, so I ended up getting in trouble, and I went on a rider down in South Boise, CUNA. And that rider program was a 3 to 6 month program. I went down there and I successfully completed that. And I returned back to Moscow, and I was put on probation. And with the terms of that I, you know, be consistent with what I'm supposed to be doing and follow the rules, then I would be released, you know, within a certain amount of time. I only made it on probation for about 9 months at that point, where I started drinking again. And I went right down that little path of destruction, and I started using the drug of my choice. It didn't take me long. I got a warrant out for my arrest. I got picked back up, and I went back on another rider. That rider, I learned a lot more. But it didn't touch base on my mental illness.
That's what I was going to say. Can you just quickly explain what a rider is?
A rider program is a program that the Idaho Department of Corrections puts in place before they actually sentence you. They sentence you to a prison term, but they take that prison term back and they retain jurisdiction for 365 days. So the courts give you that opportunity to go down and prove yourself and maybe see what can happen, get some corrections done, take a lot of classes, learn different ways of life, and they release you after you've completed that, and with a passing score. Mm-hmm. And they release you back into the community, giving you that option to maintain, you know, your probation. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I went twice. Mm-hmm. I came home. And then, you know, I wasn't taking my medications that, you know, and this is a big part of my recovery is my mental illness. I have to take my medications for my bipolar or I do relapse. And it doesn't matter what it is I relapse on something. It could be as simple as gambling, which leads to other things, you know. I am just a creature like that. And so I'd get out with a, you know, prescription of my medications that I would have to take for my mental illness. And I would quit taking them after a while. And then that spiral would happen again. And I finally got put back in Latah County Jail. And I wrote Judge Stegner a letter. He's known me for so many years. I wrote him a letter, you know, and I asked him, I said, I really do believe that I could benefit from the mental health court program. And I was trying for the mental health court program in Moscow. But at this point, it didn't matter where. You know, I have struggled with mental illness my whole entire life. My family has mental illness, in the genes. And, I'm very fortunate that I am able to recognize it and that I was able to recognize that. So writing him that letter, asking him, you know, cause they were just going to send me away and give me the time that I was originally served. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I could do it. I knew that I had a place in this community. I knew I had a place in life. I'm a mother. I have the drive and the ability to sustain from any mind altering substances. I've done it before. And that's what I told him. I said, you know, I've done this. I know I can do it. Let me prove this to you. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, you know, they hurried up and they found me a spot in this first county, and that's where I'm at, you know. But it is because I take my medications, because I have structure from a program that is teaching me how to do that.
That's what I was gonna say. It seems like the part that was missing was the mental health side, getting a program that can teach you and help you with that. Mm-hmm. Side of it.
Exactly. That is the key. And I know so many people that struggle with that mental illness, and then nobody knows what to do to help them. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just getting, and it sometimes it's a bummer that you have to get a charge or you have to get in trouble of some sort in order mm-hmm. to get that help. But that's what these programs are designed for. You know, they're not just going to put us in a prison system and say, oh, I'm sorry about you, you know. Mm-hmm. And once you get in that, you build a foundation. They have they want you to get a sponsor. They want you to be a part of the community. They want you to do service work. You know, they push all those different areas into your hands so that you can pick those up and take them out with you. You know, right now, recovery is a huge part of my life. It's a huge part of my family's life. I have... you know, I wake up every day and that's what I think about. I wake up every day and take my medication because that is going to make or break me, you know?
So since you've entered into the program, what are in your life, what have you gained back and more? Like, explain to me the benefits and how things have changed since you've been in the program.
Okay. When I first got into the program, I didn't have my kids physically. They were with their grandparents. Thank the Lord they had their grandparents. And, you know, I was having to live in the Rising Sun halfway house. I now have my own home. I've lived in my own house for 2.5 years. I've paid my rent every single month. That is a huge thing. I pay my bills. I have a full-time job. You know, I'm assistant manager at Albertsons Deli, and I never thought that would happen ever in a million years. You know, I passed the background check. That was awesome, you know? And I'm able to be honest about all that stuff. You know, I own my car. I pay car insurance. You know, I have friends that are in recovery, and I have a church family. And I have a family back. You know, so all those things are very, very important to me. And I'll also say, without those things, it would be hard to not look forward to doing the right thing every single day. But I'm blessed to have that. You know. It is just, I'm amazed to be able to come here, you know, and do this. This is like awesome for me.
Yeah, we're so glad you're here. I was thinking that when I asked you that last question, that maybe there was more that you wanted to share about life before you had gotten into this program. I didn't mean to cut you off. So.
Oh no. I'm not.
I mean, it definitely sounds like you were identifying. You know, you had gone through the two riders, and it seems clear that you're seeing that the thing that's missing is help with your mental illness, like a program that's going to walk alongside you and help you with that.
Right. And you said it just right there, walk alongside me, because that's exactly what they've done for me.
I was thinking, like, can you give me like just a clear example, like a clear picture of what does that look like? I mean, so you're in this program and you're having a struggle with something. Share like a struggle and like how they come alongside you.
Okay, absolutely. I've had a couple struggles, but I managed to get through them. The biggest struggle I've had in the program that I've been in would be, I stopped taking my medications and I ended up getting into an argument with my significant other, which I love dearly, which caused a whole spiral effect on my whole entire family. I lied to the courts. I told them I was taking my medications. I wasn't. I ended up relapsing. When I relapsed, that was the biggest deal breaker for me. I knew I had done wrong at that point. I had enough trust in my counselors. I called them immediately. I called my sponsor. I told them what I had done, you know, and they took it from there. And they, you know, I went to court and I had to pay my consequences, but I did them because I knew that's what I needed to do. And the consequences for me in this decision that I did, or not decision, but in what I had done wrong, was jail time, you know, and I had to go to jail, and I had to go to jail for 5 days. But I did have the option to do my work release and still tend to my kids and do all these different things. But they were right there with me. They started me on a medication program where I had to go down and take my medication at Adult Mental Health at a certain time every single day. And that structure was there for 6 months. So that got me back into that. They also upped my treatment. They upped a lot of different things
to have you more involved.
That would be more involved. And I was in phase four when this happened of my program. So I was at the end of my program. So that set me right back to phase two.
Oh, I was going to ask, and I don't know if this will be difficult for you to answer. I mean, I don't want to like get too personal, but I've heard other people say that before. Why, can you explain to me for you why you stopped? I mean, like,
why I stopped taking my medication.
Was there like a reason? Was it like, I don't need this?
Because when you start feeling so good.
Right. Okay.
When you start feeling so good, then you don't think you need anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And so then you want to self-medicate, you know? But I get to the point to where I'm not even thinking clearly. My medication, I have a mood stabilizer that is amazing, you know? And it doesn't take but 2 days for me to notice if I haven't taken it. You know, but I've learned so much about my mental illness, and I've learned so much about my recovery, and I've learned how to trust others that, you know, I've never trusted before, that I can talk freely about how I'm feeling. And so that's given me the ability to be able to correct myself, or to realize that I have symptoms that are coming up that are negative. That's where the productive part of my life is going. I can now notice all that stuff and call myself out on it. I think that's what's going to help me be successful after the program.
Do you feel that in the program, well, and you did take drug court before, but do you feel like in this program with the mental health side that you've been able to communicate and talk to people about how this affects you?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That is, and I'm always trying to find more information on it because I want to continuously learn.
That's what I was wondering. If like, have you been like just kind of looking things up on your own?
I do. I do a lot I do a lot research. Research on my own. My mom was diagnosed with schizophrenia when I was just 3 months old. And so when I was 15 and 16, I was doing research on her mental illness at that time. And so I just put it all together, and now it's just something that drives me. I want to help people that are, you know, have the dual diagnosis, the mental illness and the addiction. It's just kind of a passion I have. I know a lot about it. I have a lot more to learn, though, you know.
Well, thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and you're listening to KRFP, Moscow Pullman.
Any morning, any evening, any day. shined in, birds are winging, no rain is falling from a heavy sky. What do you want me to do for you, to see you through? For this is all a dream we dream, one afternoon long ago. Walk out of any doorway, feel your way like the day before.
Hi, this is Denise, and you are listening to Recovery Radio with KRFP Moscow Pullman. It is 1:41, and we are in the studio with Rachel, and she is a participant with the Mental Health Corps program in in Nez Perce. I'm always forgetting what that county is down there. Jeez. So that's in Lewiston. And Rachel, what else would you like to share with us today?
Well, you know, I guess a little bit of hope for anybody out there that has family or friends or loved ones or themselves, and knowing that it is okay, and that there is hope, you know, for everybody that has any sort of addiction or illness, mental illness, out there. What I can honestly say is I grew up with mental illness through my whole entire life with my family. My mother and my father being a drug addict, you know, so why wouldn't I have used? Why wouldn't I have had these issues? Because I grew up that way, you know, I didn't know anything different than that. In saying that, though, I got to a point to where I thought that I could overpower any of those symptoms with myself, thinking I was in control when I wasn't in control of anything at that point. It took me, you know, years and years and years. I had to get in trouble in order to find out where I'm at, but that is okay. You know, it's okay to get in trouble as long as you learn from that mistake. And I've learned a lot from, you know, the bad choices I've made, and I've learned a lot from the good choices I've made. And I just want everybody to know that there is people out there. There is places to go. There's so many different outreach programs that will help you, especially with mental illness. You can walk into any mental health court, health and welfare building, and you say, you know, this is what I'm feeling like, you know, and they will direct you in the right direction if they don't take you in their office right then and there.
Health and welfare, you know, every town has one.
Every town has one, you know, there's hotlines, you know, and those hotlines, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to call them, but you know what? They work. I just recently had to call the 211 hotline. We had a house flood and we needed some assistance, you know, and they helped me right away. You know, I've been through the worst of the worst, and I've come up and, you know, and I've went back down, and I've had this roller coaster ride of a life. My children have been on a roller coaster ride of their life. You know, and I've taken all my friends and family down with me, but I brought them up with me as well. And it may have taken a few years or a few months, but you know, I'm right back on the right direction. You know, and the key for me is to becoming open and honest, and being able to trust others. And it took a long time for me to trust others. I still do struggle with that. I'm not saying it's easy, you know, but in order for me to be able to come and talk to somebody, and know that they're not going to judge me or be against me, and that we're all the same, you know, everybody's got problems. It's just, yes, who's going to put theirs out and who's not, who's going to ask for help and, you know, who doesn't have the confidence to do so. I greatly, greatly believe in having a higher power. And the higher power of whatever you choose to have is really what got me for a long time, you know, got me through a lot of things, because I didn't want to sit and talk to anybody in particular. So I did talk to my higher power about a lot of things. And I asked questions, and I asked for all different kinds of messages, and I got those, you know, whichever way it was. And that was giving me the relief at that time to make my next decision for the next day, to live one day at a time. And to move forward and have the confidence that I'm going to be okay. Life is okay. You know, I can go through this. I can handle this. You know, I am no different than anybody else. We are all humans, and we all are equal in a lot of ways. So my biggest recommendation is to, you know, have some sympathy for the people that you see struggling. Don't judge them. You know, it's really hard for judgment in general from people. But there's always an underlining issue that nobody really knows about because they can't open up about it. And there's always places to go.
So it can be hard to talk about what is going on if you're struggling with mental illness. Is that part of what I'm hearing you say?
It is hard to talk about it because you don't really know what it is.
Okay.
Like, you don't know that you have a mental illness until you're really diagnosed. You can go in and say, I don't feel good, you know, or I don't know what's wrong with me, you know. Sure. And a lot of times they will say, okay, well, this is what's wrong with you, and you're fine. And then so you live for the next couple years thinking that this is what's wrong with you when it's really not. So it's really hard to, I would have to say it is really hard to be open and find out really what it is unless, You have somebody there with you. And that's why I suggest, like for me, like I had to just go in and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling all the time. And I had to take my own notes on it, you know, and some people aren't going to do that, you know, but if they have a family member or a loved one close to them, keep an eye on them, you know, keep an eye on the behaviors or the routine of their weekly schedule, you know, if it goes up and down, you know, there's a lot of different ways to tell. But just be there for loved ones. I mean, that's the best thing that's gotten me through a lot of this is having support.
That's what I was going to say. I don't, you know, whether you have an addiction problem, mental illness problem, any kind of whatever it is, you can't do life alone. Mm-mm. You know, I mean, reaching out, finding people that you can trust and talk to is so important. Audience, don't do life alone.
Right, for sure.
You know, it just, it doesn't work out well.
You know, there's always, you know, there's always a meeting I can go to, you know, that is, you know, going to be something that's going to make me feel comfortable, you know, and it might take a while to find those. And I was super scared. I was so scared to go to an AA meeting or an NA meeting or anything like that. I was like, I am not doing
that. All right, Rachel, what were you scared about?
Right?
What seemed scary?
I didn't want to be judged. I didn't think that those people knew me. Mm-hmm. Why should I go share my story with them? Or are they just going to go talk about using and drinking?
So
you
when
know, I was aware of what the meetings were really there
when
for.
You've attended meetings or like your classes with your program and other people start to be vulnerable, I mean, is that kind of the turning point or do you kind of wait a little bit?
I would have to say I'm not quite sure how I would
depends.
You know, it just depends. It depends on and I would want to say with the energy in the rooms or what, you know, even how I'm feeling, you know, I have days where I don't, you know, I don't handle things, you know, or there's days that I want to take on everybody else's stuff, you know, and I've learned a lot in this program that I have this driving force to help anybody with mental illness. And if they have an addiction to anything on top of that, that's even a bonus because I just want to be there to help that person to show them that it's okay. Like life is okay. You can get through this. You're not weird. Life is weird. We're all normal. Not really. But, you know, I just really compassion. Want to be that person, you know, and let everybody know that it's okay. You know, there is somebody there for you.
Can you share a story of someone that you've helped?
Without
giving names, of course, but you know, something heartwarming.
I believe I've helped other participants that have been new in our Nez Perce County Mental Health Court program. You know, they've seen me go up and down, and you know, just the other day, I went and visited the court. I didn't have court. I just went, you know, and I stepped in and there's a couple people that were struggling with some things that I had recently struggled with. And I turned and I said, this is what I did to be as simple as getting a daily planner, you know? Okay. So, I went and visited the mental health court program yesterday, just to let them know how I was doing. It was a real informal court for myself.
Right. Cause as of right now, you don't have a lot of, you don't have classes that you need to take.
I don't have any.
Like,
I am
right,
done.
You're about
everything.
Done. Yes. So it's UAs and.
So it's UAs and just being there. I want to be a mentor, you know, I really do. I do have a busy life, you know, of my own, but I do have that drive to be that mentor for people. So I think that was a really first step, the first step in me knowing I'm going to graduate next week or the 7th. And to take in that on and say, hey, I'm going to come to court, you know, and then hearing some stories from some of the people that are in phase one, you know, they're struggling with getting to their appointments on time, which is very, very important to make sure you make all your appointments because that's the responsibility and the accountability you have to have in the program, making sure they're taking their medications, making sure they're not lying, you know, I lie.
Yeah,
There's lots of lying going on when you're actively using.
Yeah, when you enter into a program, I mean,
why wouldn't you lie? That was our tool to get out of anything and everything. That was a survival tactic for many of us, for myself especially. And so I was able to relate to these gals. And, you know, after the court, I said, hey, you know where I'm at? Call me. This is what I did. I've done the same thing, you know, and they weren't there in the program when I was making those mistakes. But for me to say I've made those mistakes, I'm graduating. This is where you can still, you know, there is hope.
And that's hope. Yeah, that's hope to be able to,
Yeah. So I'm, you know, and I'm super excited to start doing that, to mentoring and being a part of the Nespers County alumni. We've already got plans. I'm already graduating and I've already got plans for Easter and to be a part of that with those participants so that they can see that there is success after the program. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask is, do you have any plans for the future?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, everybody says they're going to be involved with the programs after they graduate, but I have it, you know, I am dedicated to this, you know, and that's just to be a part of that as much as I can. And then just to continue to live my life and raise my children, you know, and be part of everything.
I'm assuming that the mental health court in Lewiston is the same as the drug court here, where you can still attend any class and, you know, visit and
Riverside Recovery is always open to once you've graduated there, even if you're not in a specialty court program, you can always go back. I mean, there's times I'll go into women's groups, so it's great.
Oh, do you, Johnny's asking. So I have a co-host. His name is Johnny. Johnny, do you want to ask the question?
Sure, Rachel. I just want to say thank you again for coming in. Your story, great education for me, because I knew literally nothing about drug court or mental health court until I came into this radio program. But it seems that most of the people we've talked to have had somebody in their program who's made a significant impact on their recovery. And I just wanted to know, is there anyone you want to sort of give a shout out to or acknowledge for, you know, some exceptional help that you've gotten in your process?
Absolutely. And I can't just narrow this down to one person.
Oh, you can go.
This
at
is
it.
the Nespers County ACT team at Adult Mental Health, and my counselor, Ruth, and I'd have to say Sarah at Riverside Recovery. All those people have made it very, very possible for me to open up and trust, to know that I'm not going to be in trouble for making a mistake. There will be a consequence. And, you know, my biggest fear was I don't want to get in trouble. So I would lie. And I had to break that routine of lying and open up with them and trust them. And they're just amazing. The whole entire team down there. I mean, just amazing, you know, and I still will continue to have contact with every single one of them. But yeah,
it's amazing. So it sounds like they're very supportive people.
Shout out to Judge Cobflesh. He's amazing.
There we go.
He's got the biggest heart and he wants the best for all of us. Just like Judge Stegner. Like people think I'm crazy when I say I have a favorite judge. Like it's kind of a weird story, but I do. I have, those people have gotten me through my life.
Yeah. We love you, Judge Stegner.
Yes. You know, and Judge Cobflesh is very, 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 very neat. You have to have a very neat personality to be able to.
That's exactly what I was going to say. To do this program and to be the judge for these just amazingly helpful programs, you really do, because you get to know these people for years.
Yeah,
and you're involved in their life. I mean, the whole team. It's just amazing.
Yep, so I agree.
We have about a minute left. Anything else you'd like to share? I'm putting her on the spot.
You're putting me
on the
spot.
See, if I would just ask questions instead of making it so open.
I just want everybody to know that these specialty court programs are not designed to be punishment for anybody. They are designed to help you to become successful, to have your family, to create a family, and a world of change and recovery, you know?
Yes.
They need to be out there for more people to know. Yes. You know, it's very, very important.
Yeah, the drug court and mental health court gives the opportunity for a person to be able to do outpatient treatment, get help in the areas that they need to get help instead of just being sent to prison where they're not going to have anything addressed.
Institutionalizes them, right. You know, and that is that's a serious thing to be institutionalized.
And I mean, it can be a thing, you know, that happens down the road, but this opportunity to try to do this, I think, is amazing. And it does save taxpayers money. I just wanted to throw that in there.
It does not cost. It does save.
It does save overall. So anyways, Rachel, thank you so much for coming up here today and sharing your story with us and about mental health court. This is Recovery Radio, and you're listening to KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Oh. Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. miss my home, but there's a fire burning in my bones. I still believe, yeah, I still believe. No, I've still got a lot of fire left in me.